kick off the 11 o'clock hour, was so irritated with my critique of his comp that now he's reading a story in the State Journal yesterday and thinking, well, this isn't that interesting to me because I'm mad at Jason. Fair?
No, I would not. No, not me.
Yeah. No. The rundown, let me just quote the rundown to you. So he links to this story in Sunday's State Journal, which actually ran in print today, about how Jordan Love went out of his way to welcome all members of the draft class to the team as they were picked. And this is how Jesse looks at this piece. To the people who may ask, why is this such an important thing to recognize and share with fans of the G&G? That sounds to me like you're questioning whether or not, like, you'd rather get a CeeDee Lamb preposterous trade than this insight into Jordan Love's leadership approach.
I mean, if we're going to quote...
That's what it feels like.
If we're going to quote the rundown, can we at least go back to the start of the show when talking about Ernie Els winning the AmFam Championship, and I made the caption for that segment, "What else you got?"
It's pretty good.
That was good, but... But I felt a little uncomfortable with the opening segment, frankly, because Steve Stricker would tell you that that's a putt that he should make, especially with his tournament. He's the host, and I'm sure he was really ticked off, even though he didn't show it. And I just didn't want to. I didn't want to relive our friend of show, missing a putt that would have forced a second playoff hole. So I was trying to kind of, you know, weave my way through that conversation. And I don't want to diss Ernie Els, who won the title. So, yes, great headlines.
Pars will win it for you, it turns out.
Yeah, well, and bogeys will lose it for you, as it also turns out. So, Tausch, I try not to make a mountain out of a molehill on a lot of things. Okay. But on occasion, maybe I see something as more important than it is. But if you read the story, which, Jesse, did you actually read the story?
I skimmed.
You didn't skim.
I skimmed a little
you
bit.
Didn't, you never clicked the link. You never read it.
Skimmed a little bit.
You didn't skim it at all.
Just a little bit.
You looked at the tweets. You said, that's not for me. Wonder why Wildy would even write this. So, Tausch, I think it's fast. This is why I thought it was important to answer your question that you sarcastically posed in the rundown, Jesse. I think it's fascinating to see how Jordan Love is developing as a leader. Because he spent 3 years behind Rodgers. He has a, I would argue, vastly different approach than Rodgers. At the same time, he is going to have to, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, at some point, there are going to be times where he's going to have to be really tough on guys, because that's part of the leadership equation too, is it not?
It's really easy to, when things are great and your players are all doing what you know you're expected to be doing and you're winning, no problem. Same thing with coaching. It's when you get those tough times, and I think last year, you know, when you went through those tough times, Jordan was, you know, still trying to find himself. And he's going through the same thing that Matt LaFleur and this team is going through with the expectation game. Last year, nothing was really expected. There was a myriad of things that could happen and how they were going to play out. And when they started playing out poorly, it was like, well, it's a young team. You got all this other stuff. Now, Jordan Love's leadership, he is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets that contract, it's just going to ramp up again. And now, how are you going to go about your approach on leadership? You're going to take some things from what Aaron Rodgers did. You're going to look at how other guys have done it. But I've always said this, and I think this is the thing coaches have to figure out really early, is don't be somebody you're not. Because every player in that locker room knows how you are as a person, how you approach things. That doesn't mean, you know, if you like to have fun and joke around and do it that way, that's not how you shouldn't be. But you need to bring that part of your life into it. And I've said this on this show numerous times, Mike Sherman, how he approached things, Mike McCarthy. The best way to always do it is by being authentic. And Jordan Love, again, you know him better than I do. Jordan Love, it seems as if, is a even-keeled, steady dude. That is a great thing. That's how I would like. I am not a fire and brimstone everyday guy. When you do it, it even means that much more.
Right!
So from Jordan's standpoint, I don't think he wants to side-eye guys and show people up and do some of the things that I think Aaron Rodgers was criticized for. But there are some times if guys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, you have to lean into that. And I think what you're talking about, and I have not gotten around to reading your article yet, but I'm guessing this getting to know guys and you have to understand what guys need. What guys are motivated by what? And just sitting there and screaming at people doesn't do any good. And especially now, I think you could get by. I liked it. I mean, I didn't like it, but I understood it. And I think as a player, sometimes you need a kick in the keister. You need your quarterback to say, hey, can you block this guy? It can't always just be fun. And it's good. And
hey,
you
block this guy?
You want guys to have the expectations of, this is what we need to get done. And if you're not doing it, Jordan Love needs to hold guys accountable, just like he needs to hold himself accountable.
So is that what Roger said to you? Hey, can you block this guy?
I have had quarterbacks mention that, or, boy, you didn't get much on him on that screen pass. Yeah, and that's when you say, well, screen passes, you're supposed to maneuver out of the pocket. But hey, you can have dialogue back, and that's the beauty of it, especially if you have some older guys that can give and take. Favre and Frankie Winters was always the best. Because Favre would say something and Frank would not wait 2 seconds to shoot back and say, well, you could do this better too. And you might think that that's a little bit disjointed and maybe unhealthy. I wouldn't look at it that way. I actually look at it the other way. I think it's fun.
Hot off the three tech. So I will admit, Jesse, that when I heard a few of the players on draft days, the three draft days this year, mention that Jordan Love had texted him right away, I thought, oh, that's cute. How should I say that? Oh, it's cute. And then I talked to Javon Bullard, who is their second-round safety, who said, and I quote from the Wisconsin State Journal, because I don't have the audio, having QB1 reach out to you, hit your phone, which is the young lingo, clearly. It's huge. I don't take that lightly, man. Just the fact that he actually reached out, he didn't have to do that. Hats off to him. I respect him just for that alone. Now, that's a guy that he's not going to throw passes to, at least not on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe Javon Bullard is going to pick him off once. But then I talked to Evan Williams, who is the safety out of Oregon that they drafted, and he said the same thing, that this really made an impression on guys. And again, as I mentioned in the story, Jordan Love's not the only quarterback in the NFL that's sending this message, right? I'm sure other quarterbacks texted draft picks. Aaron Rodgers drafted, or when Jordan Love was drafted, sent Jordan Love a congratulatory text message. Even though he was pissed that he'd been picked, he still sent the message. So it's not new, but I think the reason why, to answer your snarky question, Jesse, that this is significant, is he is still developing as the leader of this team.
He's got to figure it out. I mean,
right.
I know he probably led at Utah State. It's different. And all of that stuff, I think, first off, you have to understand how people view you. I think that's probably the biggest, because most people are, I want to be a good teammate. I want to do my job. You have to understand that when you're the quarterback, everybody's always asking questions about you. You have added responsibility, and you have to understand that, or you're not going to understand the magnitude of what Bullard just told you. Because for the most part, it's like, oh, Frankie called me, sent me a text. It's nice. And I think you always appreciate when someone does it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're the quarterback and you do that, you are setting a tone and kind of letting this guy – it made him feel really good. And that was, just listening to what you had to say, not reading the article. That's important. Those little things that you don't think are that important, they are. And that takes a lot of capital and energy from you to do that. And it's easy to just not do it or send out a group text. And Jordan, the fact that he understands that at this early of a part of his career is awesome, because it's only going to get more and more, because this is the early part of Jordan's career. Aaron Rodgers, early in his career, you know, did he look at doing it that way? I don't know. But as you get older, you know, there's already people, young players, that have come in and said, that's Jordan Love. That's before Super Bowl championships. That's before MVPs. Right. Just think, if you get there, how much more that gets. And Tom Brady has talked about how important that was for him. And I'm sure Jordan Love, like a lot of quarterbacks, are looking at what Tom Brady's career looked like and said, how do I get that? For me, I always looked at it. At first, when you just get there, you're just swimming. But once you kind of get settled in, it's like, I want to last as long as I can in this league. Everybody that's been around 8-9 years, it's like, how'd you do it? And you know what you find? Guys are really open to sharing that because they're proud of it and they want to pass it forward. That's when you get your culture. That's how you develop it, is by going about your business that way.
Yeah, Jesse. So here's the other part of this before we move on. I don't, and maybe he did, and maybe these guys just never mentioned it, but I never heard Christian Watson say that he heard from Rodgers right away when they drafted him. I never heard Romeo Doubs say that. What I did hear Romeo Doubs say last training camp was, I learned a lot from Aaron, even with him barely speaking to me. So I do think the juxtaposition of how Love is going about this early in the process, and look, if you could have predicted where Brett Favre would be after his career was over and where Aaron Rodgers would be after his career is over, I don't think we should be in any sort of prediction business about what Jordan Love is going to be like 15 years from now, because we don't know. I did not see Aaron Rodgers being where he is back early in the time that he was the Packers quarterback. But he is, right now, Jordan Love is going through the process of figuring out what works and what doesn't as a leader. And with more and more expectations on this team, Tausch talks about the expectation game all the time. With more expectations and more responsibility and soon to be more money with a very large contract looming, that does change the dynamic. And so I do think, I don't think leadership is just this kind of corny thing that we talk about when we don't want to break down X's and O's and, oh, you know, sometimes there are questions about leadership that don't make sense that we ask as reporters. But I don't think, I'll defer to the guy who played in the NFL for 11 years. I think it's really important to your team's success. Chemistry and leadership really do matter. Whether you're a seventh grade soccer team or you're a high school team or a college team or an NFL team, those pieces do make a difference. Am I wrong about that?
It is a huge component to it, and that's why you see team building. That's why you see coaches, you know, constantly working and trying to find messaging that is going to resonate with their players. Because the margin of error talent-wise in all of these professional leagues, there's some, and there's some bigger gaps than others. But I just saw a stat on Roger Federer, who's one of the greats. Now, Novak is now the greatest, in my opinion. But it was, he has won, I think it was the French Open, he won 82% of his matches. And you think, God, 8 out of 8, that is dominant. And it is in a professional sport. But he won 54% of the points. That's a very narrow split when you start looking at it. And it's the little things. It's the how you deal with pressure, how you handle that. And that's why, because when your margins of error are so small, and in the NFL they are the smallest of any league, of any professional sport, it is those little things that are going to make the huge difference. It is Jordan Love understanding what makes his left guard tick or what makes his wide out, and mm-hmm. understanding all of those little things. And that comes from off the field things, and it comes from knowing the person and not just and having it where, I'm going to lay it all on the line for you. And that's why I always go back to the Favre when his dad passed game and the magic in the air that night. It was because we knew what he needed and we weren't going to let him down. And that's more powerful than running 96 power 62 times and getting every last landmark hit. That's not, it's those little things, and it is so difficult to capture it, but when you do, it can be magical.
That's why that game remains the most compelling game I've covered in my career. As great as Favre was that night, what you guys did for him made it even greater. All right, that's enough of me defending my story. If you do want to check it out, it's on Madison.com.
I kind of like that potential as a segment, though. You have to defend your story. Why you wrote what you wrote in the off season?
The pen is mightier. Yeah.
The Bleacher Report dude can't. He's not going to be able to defend the CeeDee Lamb thing. I don't care who he's talking to. He ain't defending that.
Very fair. Maybe we could get a partner to sponsor that segment. In the interim, we have a great partnership with Fortrea, who is helping people of all sizes, not just bigger guys. People of all sizes make a little extra money.
Yeah, indeed. And if you're looking for a little extra money, you want to go on a golf trip, you want to head to Brazil, watch the pack, you want to get out to USC, watch the bat, you want looking for a little cash, Fortrea's got you covered. A couple different studies. Healthy men, age 18 to 65, BMI between 18 and 32. And I love the variance of this. Study, and with one stay, you can go 8 all the way up to 15 nights. Compensation varies from $4,853 to $7,772 for your time and participation. If you refer a friend, it's another $200 per qualified referral. Go to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com. All right, Jason, I'm going to tease this out here.
Cool.
The Drew Holiday big night last night has a lot of Bucks fans thinking, did we do something wrong? I heard Evan Cohen on Sportsmanlike say the Miami Heat not getting Damian Lillard is giving the Boston Celtics a championship. I'm going to tell you why the Bucks did the right thing, and they, even with what we saw last night, I'm going to tell you that next. It's Will Hughes.
Wow.